I love to pray with my eyes closed. It blocks out a huge number of distractions. Not that any of you are distractions for me by any means. But it helps me to focus. And sometimes here in the liturgy, I like to pray with my eyes closed. But in the liturgy, it's also important to learn to pray with our eyes open. Because that way we see the people with whom we're striving to have communion with. And we can see the signs and the symbols that communicate our faith and that helps us to participate in those signs and symbols of our faith more fully, hopefully. One of those big liturgical signs are the processions that we have at Mass. Processions are about moving us as a community deeper into the holy. If we want to grow in holiness, then in the liturgy, we need to learn to pray with the processions, which is praying with the church, moving with the church, walking with the church toward the holy place. The Catholic Church loves processions because they get us out of being stuck in one place, and they make us move as a body, the body of Christ. When there are processions in the liturgy, I think we need to pray with our eyes open, participating in them as much as possible, whether physically or symbolically. Processions are a key aspect of that full, conscious, active participation that we're called to by virtue of our baptism. In the gospel, the people had been processing to the synagogue week after week, but never getting any closer to holiness. And to some extent, the opposite was happening, because they were tolerating in their midst a man possessed by a demonic spirit. Can you imagine? Like, oh, that's just Jim over there with his head spinning around, throwing up projectile vomiting, or whatever it might be, you know? They weren't getting closer to holiness. They were letting an evil spirit get closer to them. Until they let Jesus be a part of their processing. With him as the goal of their procession, finally the evil was cast out from their midst. So is Jesus the goal of our processions here at Mass? How about your processing outside of Mass? At first sight, a procession like the entrance procession might seem merely a practical matter, right? The celebrant and the ministers have to get from the sacristy up here to the sanctuary. And the communion procession, you have to get from your chair to the communion ministers in a normal, non-pandemic world, if you want to share in that high point of the Mass. And yet, a procession in the liturgy is never merely a practical matter. It has great spiritual value when it's understood. And when what we do exteriorly awakens us interiorly. So on one level, that movement from the door of the church through the midst of the community towards the altar underlines the prayer that we want to direct as a community toward God. Instead of just walking from the sacristy up to my chair here, we form a procession which adds solemnity and emotional power to that movement, as well as to our singing during that entrance song. And what's more, a procession reminds us that we are pilgrims. We're a pilgrim people on the way through this life, moving toward the Lord in heaven. In that way, it can be a reminder to us that our sojourn here on earth is not permanent or stable, but transitory. Our movement here on earth is intended for another and greater end, a more blessed life. In the Bible, there are many processions that are mentioned. That first reading today from the book of Deuteronomy describes Moses after he has led the Jews in a great procession, their exodus from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, through the desert to the promised land. And just before they enter the promised land, we hear Moses promising them that God will raise up a prophet even greater than Moses, who will not simply lead them to an earthly country, but lead them into obedience of the heart, and so into heaven. In the New Testament, there's only one procession that's described there, and that's the one on Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into the holy city, Jerusalem. His Palm Sunday procession ultimately led him straight to the cross. It was a movement to the greatest act of redemptive love that the world has ever known. The most glorious procession, of course, is the ascension, where the Lord processes to the right hand of the Father in heaven. So, likewise, our processions should lead us out of slavery to sin, toward the redemption of the cross, and ultimately to the glory of heaven. All of these processions, whether they're biblical or liturgical, they're a movement away from evil and closer to God. So in the Mass, we have five processions. There's the entrance procession, the gospel procession, the offertory procession, the communion, and the recessional. Now, three of those processions, the entrance, the offertory, and the communion, culminate in a prayer. The entrance procession culminates in the collect that the priest offers at the chair there, which collects all of our individual prayers, the prayers of our hearts, into that prayer of the church. The offertory procession culminates after the presentation of the gifts and the preparation of the altar, there at the altar, where the priest prays that we may all offer a worthy sacrifice. And the communion procession culminates in the prayer after communion, again there at the chair, where the priest prays that the sacrifice and the communion that we have offered and received may be effective in our lives. Two of the five processions are done by representatives on your behalf. In a sense, everyone processes to the church, right? But then the ministers do so more solemnly in order to begin the celebration on your behalf. So as you see the ministers processing up and through the midst of the assembly, join them in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit as they process to the holy. You are being gathered into the holy as well. The offertory procession involves two representatives, usually, bringing up the gifts of the whole assembly to be offered then by the priest at the altar. The gospel procession is done on behalf of Christ, with servers usually holding candles and the priest holding the book of the Gospels. We process to the ambo so that Christ may proclaim his word to us. The other two processions involve all of you. The communion procession is kind of a hybrid, really, with Christ processing to you and you processing to him in normal non-pandemic times, at least, which is really beautiful to think about, right? To think of communion as Christ coming to you. He can't wait to be received by you, to come into union, communion with you. He's coming to you and you coming to him, running together. And then the final procession is the recession of all of us returning to the world, hopefully renewed to once again witness to our faith, nourished in holiness to face the challenges and the struggles that the world will throw at us. The world loves to throw those kind of things at us. So nothing we do in the liturgy here is merely practical. It's always a window for us into the deeper mysteries of our faith, into the spiritual realities that one day we shall see face to face. The processions at Mass and in the Bible remind us that every movement in our lives should be a movement away from anxiety and toward pleasing God. Every step can be a step in virtue, a step in faith, hope, and love.